and join me in the prayer for illumination. Living God, help us to see, stand, in understanding we may believe, and believing we may follow your way in all faithfulness, seeking your honor and glory in all that we do. Amen. The gospel reading is from Matthew chapter 3, verse 1 through 11, and also from James chapter 5, verse 7 to 10. And I may be reading a little slow today. I can only see out of one eye, so that means I'll be twice as slow. Matthew chapter 3, 1 through 11. In those days, John the Baptist came preaching in the wilderness of Judea and saying, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near." This is who was spoken of through the prophet Isaiah, "A voice of one calling in the wilderness, prepare the way for the Lord, make straight paths for him." John's clothes were made out of camel hairs, and he had a leather belt around his waist. His food was locusts and wild honey. People went out to him from Jerusalem and all Judea and the whole region of the Jordan. Confessing their sins, they were baptized by him in the Jordan River. But when he saw many Pharisees and Sadducees coming to where he was baptizing, he said to them, "You brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the coming wrath? Produce fruit in keeping with repentance. And do not think you can say to yourselves, 'We have Abraham as our father.' I tell you that out of these stones God can raise up children from Abraham. The axe is already at the root of the trees, and every tree that does not produce good fruit will be cut down and thrown into the fire. I baptize you with water for repentance. But after me comes one who is more powerful than I, whose sandals I am not worthy to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire." In James chapter 5, verses 7 through 10, "Be patient then, brothers and sisters, until the Lord's coming. See how the farmer waits for the land to yield its valuable crop, patiently waiting for the autumn and spring rains. You too, be patient and stand firm, because the Lord's coming is near. Don't grumble against one another, brothers and sisters, or you will be judged. The judge is standing at the door. Brothers and sisters, as an example of patience in the face of suffering, take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord. As you know, we count it as blessed those who have persevered. You have heard of Job's perseverance and have seen what the Lord finally brought about. The Lord is full of compassion and mercy." This is the word of God for every nation, for every tribe and every tongue. Thanks be to God.
So in a Peanuts cartoon strip, good old Charlie Brown says to Linus, "Life is just too much for me. I've been confused since the day I was born. I think the whole trouble is that we are thrown into life too fast. We're not prepared." And Linus responds, "What do you want? A chance to warm up?" Yeah, as a matter of fact, that wouldn't be so bad, huh? But you know, that's kind of true about the season of Christmas. You know, what amazes me is when I was younger, Christmas kind of was more around Thanksgiving, but as time has gone on, the first signs of Christmas are like in August, you know, as we start to see that little section in the store. It begins really early. And then before we know it, it's all time. The decorations start going up. We're having to buy and wrap and shift gifts, send out the Christmas cards, whip up all those holiday goodies, attend parties and music programs and all the other things we do to get ready for Christmas. But when it comes right down to it, are we really prepared? Because Advent is really our chance to warm up. Let us pray. Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. So as we recall from last week, the word Advent means coming. So during the season of Advent, we commemorate the first coming of Jesus as the infant, but then we also anticipate his second coming. We live in that in-between time because the kingdom of heaven that is proclaimed is the reign of God that exists now. It is a present reality, but it is also a future hope as we await for the fulfillment of the promise. But during that meantime, we're to watch, to wait, to worship, and to wonder. Last week, we talked about watching. Remember, we sang, "You better watch out." Well, we're not waiting for the advent of Santa Claus here. We're waiting for the coming of Christ. As Paul wrote to the Romans, salvation, that is the fulfillment of all that God has promised, is closer now than when we first believed. The lectionary reading last week took us to the end of the book of Matthew, where Jesus is teaching us about the last days and his second coming. He reminds us that only the Father knows the hour and the day. And so we ought to keep watch, to be alert. And that involves active watching, not like when we go to a movie and just sit there, maybe even fall asleep, but an active watching, as Jesus told three parables, one about the 10 virgins and also the sheep and the goats and the parable of the talents. He reminded us that while we're watching, this active watching involves tending to the least of these. For as we do it to him as well. We also multiply the gifts that God has given us, both spiritual and material, that God's kingdom might build here on earth, and keep our lamp of faith burning as we await his coming. This week we talk about waiting, because Advent is really all about waiting. Now, how many of you like to wait? I am not seeing very many hands around here. Now, I went shopping on Friday, had a variety of errands to run, and my first one was over to Barnes and Noble's. And so I'm driving along the road, and I swear I stopped at every traffic light. And I sat through the full cycle of every traffic light. It took me a lot longer than normal to get there. Then I waited over an hour for my car to get washed. And then I waited in line at the stores. I hate waiting. In fact, I didn't even get all my shopping done because of all the waiting. Now, most of us don't like to wait, mainly because that kind of waiting is really a waste of our time. We have other things we could get done in that waiting time. But that is not the waiting that is associated with the season of Advent. Waiting is embedded in our life of faith because, folks, whether we like it or not, God does not work on our timetable. Humans often have to wait on God to act. The psalmist in Psalm 27 wrote, "I believe that I shall look upon the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living." Wait for the Lord. Be strong and let your heart take courage. Wait for the Lord. Isaiah 2 wrote, "Therefore the Lord waits to be gracious to you, and therefore he exalts himself to show mercy to you. For the Lord is a God of justice. Blessed are those who wait for him." Oh, and my favorite, Isaiah 40, 31. "But they who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up on wings like eagles, run and not be weary, walk and not faint." Lamentations 3 says, "The Lord is good to those who wait for him, to the soul who seeks him." And Jesus in Acts chapter 1, verse 4 tells his disciples to stay in Jerusalem to wait for the Holy Spirit to come. Abraham and Sarah waited for years for the fulfillment of the promise that God had given them of a son. One of my favorite stories of waiting is found in Luke, and it's just this little snippet of a man named Simeon, a righteous and devout Jew who was waiting for the consolation of Israel, God's coming among them, bringing salvation. And the Holy Spirit moved him one day to go to the temple. And so he goes to the temple that day, and Mary and Joseph walk in with baby Jesus. for dedication. And Simeon takes that child into his arms, and I can just imagine this man has waited a lifetime for this moment. And he proclaims, "Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you now dismiss your servant in peace, for my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all people, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people," people Israel. Waiting is just embedded in our life of faith. In our second reading, James says that we wait for the return of the Lord, and we have to wait. Oh man, if waiting isn't bad enough, we have to wait patiently for the return of Jesus. And he compares that to the farmer who watches and waits for the harvest to come, and he has to patiently wait for the seasonal rains as well. But the farmer, we know, does not just sit around and twiddle his thumbs waiting for the harvest, that there is work to do in that in-between time. And so as we wait for God, it's not a passive waiting. James tells his readers to endure suffering. He also says, don't grumble against each other. You know, impatient people grumble. So when we get impatient, we grumble with each other. But he says, don't grumble. Persevere, and above all else, live lives of integrity. Be who you say you are. Then in our second reading this morning, we get another insight into this time of waiting, this Advent season. It's John the Baptist. You know, I love John the Baptist because he always pops up the second week of Advent. And he is not your typical Christmas character. Most of our Christmas characters are angels and shepherds and sweet Mary and Joseph and baby Jesus. But then we get to John the Baptist and his camel hair and his long hair and his locusts and honey diet out in the wilderness proclaiming a call to repentance. You know, the story of John the Baptist is also a beautiful story, and a story of waiting as well for Zechariah and Elizabeth. Were mature adults like Abraham and Sarah, they were childless. And Zechariah one day is serving in his priestly duties when an angel of the Lord comes and says, Elizabeth will conceive a child and you will name him John. And Zechariah, he doesn't laugh like Abraham and Sarah did, but he doesn't believe because his wife is mature in age. And Zechariah is then, according to the angel, made unable to speak. But Elizabeth does conceive, and John is born. And Zechariah's silence ends with a song. Praise be to the Lord, the God of Israel, because he has come and has redeemed his people. And then looking at his child, I can imagine as he says, and you, my child, will be called a prophet of the Most High, for you will go on before the Lord to prepare the way for him. And so as we get to today's text, John the Baptist is out in the wilderness. It's a place where people learn to depend and trust in God throughout Scripture. And so people are flocking out in the wilderness to hear his message and his call to repent as he calls people to prepare the way for the Lord. It is that vision that comes to us from the book of Isaiah, because Isaiah prophesied of John, the voice of one in the desert, preparing the way of the Lord. And so as we look at Advent in our time of waiting, there are two things that John teaches us about waiting, and the first is about repentance. We don't like that word very well, but you know, repentance isn't about just saying that we're sorry for the sins we've committed. It's about reorienting our lives towards God, our minds to be the mind that God has called us to, that mind of Christ. Because John calls us to repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near, to turn towards God our heart and mind and spirit, that we do not miss the advent of God in the person of Christ, to turn from our spiritual darkness to the light of God's dawning salvation. Repentance is a one-time thing, but it's also an ongoing thing, because we daily get drawn into different different activities that pull us away from God. But repentance is always a turning back, a reorienting each day to God. The other is about preparing a way, to prepare him room, as the song Joy to the World tells us. Luke's gospel, you know, the innkeeper, the antagonist in the Christmas program who said there's no room in the inn. Well, Jesus knocks on the door of our hearts and lives all the time. And we have to ask ourselves, what is our response? Is there room for Christ in our lives? There's this story of some women that were enjoying an expensive lunch, and it was obvious they were celebrating a festive occasion, and so the waitress asked them what the occasion was for the lunch, and one woman said, "We are celebrating my baby's first birthday." And the waitress, seeing no child, asked, "Where's the baby?" And the mother responded, "Well, you don't think I'd bring the baby, do you? Why, he'd ruin the whole party." If you think about it, it's kind of sometimes how we treat Christmas. We do all the festivities around Christmas, but we forget the child, the Christ. Jesus should be a welcome guest in our celebrations, but not just this time of year, all the time. When I lived in Las Vegas, I had a two-bedroom townhome. One was my master bedroom, and the other was that catch-all room. You probably know that type of room. Mine was an office, storage, and guest room. And so when I had guests come, I had to go down to the room and haul out all my office things, and except the desk, and all my storage boxes, and move them down out of sight, out of mind, into another space, often into my bedroom closet. And then my guests would come, and then when they left, I would pick it all up and put it right back in the room. Well, then back in 2000, my brother came to live with me. He was relocating from Florida, and so he was going to move into that room. Well, now there's a totally different thing. I couldn't just leave everything in there. I had to totally reorient my house, reorganize everything, clear out the clutter in that room to prepare my brother's room. Jesus is the same way. We tend to make room for Jesus at Christmas time or maybe even at Easter. He moves in for a period of time and then we get busy with our lives again. But Jesus needs to be that person that's in our lives and in our hearts all the time, constantly reorienting and clearing out the clutter that builds up. That's what John comes to do each Advent, calling us to reorient and to prepare room. You know, there was this private school that was holding their annual Christmas play, and a boy of 7 was chosen to play that role of the innkeeper. He had no problem learning his lines, but had a problem with the part of turning Mary and Joseph away with his line, "There's no room in the inn." Nevertheless, he had his part down pat, and when the big night came on cue and with the authority, he belted out, "There's no room in the inn." And his parents blew out a sigh of relief, but the boy could not leave it there. After a pause, he added, "But come in anyhow and have some milk and cookies." I kind of like that attitude. You know, Advent isn't about just preparing for Christmas. It's about preparing for Christ. It is a season of watching, of keeping alert for the coming of Christ in our everyday, but also in that day when he will return. And it's also that season of waiting, waiting for God to act, not passive waiting, but patiently enduring, not grumbling against each other, persevering in faith, being people of integrity, keeping our minds oriented towards Christ, and preparing him room, not just once this month, but always until he returns. You know, Charlie Brown, he was concerned about being just thrown into life, unprepared. We can be thrown into those last days when they do finally come unprepared, but Advent says no. Here's your chance. Warm up. Thanks be to God. Amen.